Father, we are thankful for another opportunity to be in your house. Thank you for life, for strength, for grace, for the presence of mind granted to us. Lord, we left this place earlier today, knowing, O God, that your hand was upon our lives. And we have returned, knowing, O God, that you are our keeper, our good shepherd, causes us to lack nothing. The God who multiplies blessings bestowed upon our lives in marvelous ways. God who creates opportunities and grants us the strength, the ability, the resources necessary to seize every opportunity for greater purposes and greater results. We celebrate your goodness in our lives, and we step into our end time destiny, knowing, O God, that you have already made the way for us. You have the final say. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Good to see you tonight. You may be seated. This month, the Lord has made it clear to us, it's the month of prophetic fulfillment. And one of the things that we are exploring primarily is the mechanism and the mechanics behind the fulfillment of prophetic declarations. We know some of those things already, that when you have a prophetic word, you have to confess it. Basically, you need to say the same thing that God has already spoken directly or through a vessel into your life. You have to come into agreement with it by confession. And we've explored that word confession in the past. It's the Greek word homologia. Homo meaning same, logia meaning word or account, actually. So declaring the same account, declaring the same word. Those are some of the things that you need to do in seeing the fulfillment of a prophetic word. It doesn't just come to pass because God said. The fact is that whatever God says is, but the manifestation of that which is said is brought about by the word of God spoken. Please don't forget that. The reality about words is that when you speak words, you are actually speaking pictures. So, for example, if I say door, you don't see the letter D-O-R. Some people might, but most people will see an actual door. If I say car, you see an actual car. We might see different cars. Some people may see a Rolls Royce or a Bentley. Some people may see Mini Coupe or a Honda or whatever. If I say truck, you see a truck. Words are images. And when you are confessing what God says, you are creating that picture. You are bringing that picture into reality. You are playing out that picture. And as you're playing out that picture, it's like building a structure. So the Bible says faith is the substance of things that you are hoping for. A substance, we know, is the breakdown material that makes a thing. The chemistry of it. The physiology of it. The physics of it. Are you with me so far? So when we're talking about words, we're talking about creative power. But words are not just words, and they are not just images. Words represent a presence. For example, back to the word, faith is a substance. The word substance is the word hypostasis. And hypostasis is the same word found in Hebrews 1 verse 3, where it talks about Jesus being the express person. The word person representing Jesus is the same word. The express image, the express image of his person, hypostasis. Now, what does that mean? It means to abide under the word hypostasis. So when we're talking about faith, we're talking about abiding under. You cannot abide under something that is not there. Are you with me? So when we're talking about prophetic fulfillment, it is coming under the covering of the Word of God, coming under the covering of who Jesus is, coming under the one who created everything. I'm under the creative power of God, and I'm abiding. Interestingly enough, the word hypostasis is connected to the word patience. So we patiently wait for the manifestation. We don't come up with alternative plans as Abraham did, and the result was Ishmael, which has become a problem, a thorn in the flesh of Israel, of Isaac. That trouble that caused Sarah to demand the excommunication of Hagar and Ishmael is still until this day. We must tell Ives Ishmael. Not here. We must expel from our lives everything that hinders the manifestation of God's will for our lives. But the primary thing that we're talking about is the presence. Now, that's an interesting exploration. Let's go to the book of Exodus, chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. I am going to look at two primary verses, verse 11 and verse 20, is going to be the main thrust of what we're going to be talking about today, but I want to take it up from about verse 6. God says, He wants to reveal himself to them, but he said that the people should take off their ornaments. These ornaments were ornaments that they had taken, that were idolatrous, that they were holding on to. And he says, strip yourselves of those things. He says, and the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by the Mount Horeb. And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, outside the camp. This is the tabernacle that is going to, that houses the Ark of the Covenant and all the different furniture that were in that tabernacle. It's pitched out in the camp, afar off, far away from the camp, and called it the Tabernacle of the Congregation. That's interesting. It's supposed to be the Tabernacle of the Congregation, but it is far off from the congregation, because the presence of God is not cheap. Let me say that again. The presence of God is not cheap. You have to desire it. You have to go for it. It doesn't just show up. The congregation of God must desire that presence so deeply, so intensely, so fervently. That the presence of God touches with them. So he called the congregation the tabernacle of the congregation, and it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord, that everyone that sought the Lord went out. Everyone that sought the Lord went out. The tabernacle of God, yes, is in your house. Yes, it is here. But there's a reason why it is here in this particular facility. Because you need to go out. Because you desire it. You came through this cold weather. Went through the snow. I wonder how they did it 100+ years ago. Thank you, Jesus. I wasn't born then. Hallelujah. Talking about the trying of your faith. Are you going to go with those buggies? No heat. It's so easy for us today. You stay in your house and you push a button and remote start your car. Heat up your steering wheel before you even get there. Your car seat is warm. And we think, oh wow, it's a struggle. We come to church, we spend 2 hours or 3 hours, and we think it is the end of the world. Paul preached all night long. Somebody slept, fell down. He goes down, prays for the person, walks back up, and continues preaching. And the guy came back to life and came up and continued listening. But we complain about everything. Anyone who wanted to experience the presence of God and desired to inquire of God, anyone who sought the Lord went out onto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. Go there. And it came to pass when Moses went out onto the tabernacle that all the people rose up. And stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. They watched him. Those that were far off, I'm sure they had their binoculars. He just went in. But interestingly enough, they only stayed until he went in. Then they relaxed. He went in. Okay. Hey, let's play our Monopoly or whatever it is. Bring the cards. Let's play. Let's watch the World Cup finals. Yes. Moses is inside. Says, and it came to pass as Moses entered, as he entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. As he entered into that tabernacle, the cloud pillar descends at the door. And God had a private talk with Moses. What a man. The Bible says, verse 10, and all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshipped, every man in his tent door. Worshipped. God is meeting with Moses. He began to worship. In verse 11, this is the very interesting verse. It says, and the Lord spake unto Moses face to face. As a man speaketh unto his friend. The only other person God has addressed as his friend was Abraham. Now the word of God says that God spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. I don't want you to miss this next statement, because this is the determining factor, more than any other, that got Joshua to become the next in command. It says, and he turned again into the camp. After he had this talk with God, he went back to the camp. But the word of God says, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did what? Departed not out of the tabernacle. He departed not out of the tabernacle. Notice, it did not say departed not from. In essence, when Moses went in, Joshua went in. I am not going to be separated from this man. Where he goes, I'm going. And so when Moses stepped into the tabernacle, what the others did not see was Joshua snuck in with him. Because whoever sought after the Lord went to the tabernacle. So what is this? This is a man who is seeking. But when Moses left, he said, my allegiance is to you, Moses, but my first allegiance is to the God that you are serving. I'm going to stick with him. Even when you are gone, I'm going to be here. Any wonder that when God spoke later in the book of Joshua, God says, my servant Moses is dead. Now, let's do business. It was the one that was there. Not the one that was at the front of his house worshiping. All of that is good. But what God wants from me, what God wants from you, is a heart that is intimately connected to him. I have to have my personal relationship with God. My spiritual father had a relationship with God. But I cannot live under the grace of my spiritual father. I have to have mine own relationship. You have to have your own relationship. There must be a pursuit for God. That when others have turned back to go to the camp, not that there's anything wrong with that, that there is this lingering to know that causes you to continue in spite of whatever. God, that I may know you and the power of your resurrection. Notice, Exodus 33 verse 11 says, and the Lord spake unto Moses face to face. So what does it then mean when the Bible says in verse 20 of the same chapter, actually let's take it up from verse 18 and come there. Moses talks to God and he says, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, God said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. That's his key. God says, he says, show me your glory. God says, tell you what, I will proclaim my goodness before you. In other words, when I proclaim my goodness before you, that's my announcing of you and an announcement of that which must be manifest in your life. And I'm going to proclaim the name of the Lord. I'm going to proclaim my name, Yahweh, before you. The self-existent God, I'm going to pronounce that ahead of you. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. Who? Verse 11, God spoke to him face to face, like a man will speak to his friend. What is verse 20? Thou cannot see my face. It's the same word for face. Same Hebrew word. So, we spoke face to face, and I lived and I went home. Obviously, Joshua was there. What is God talking about? Thou canst not see my face. What he's talking about is that there are degrees of the revelation of the presence of God. There are intensities. For example, tomorrow when you wake up and you look out of your window, you will see the presence of the sun. It's bright, bright day. You step out and you look at the sun. It's so bright, so you put your shades on and you can look. That's another level. While you're in your house and you're not looking directly at the sun, you can look at the brightness of the sun. You can say, it's such a bright day. You come out, you look up, and you see the sun, and you say, oof, that's really bright. That's another level. But you, being in the sun, that's another level. Can we understand that? Okay. So there are intensities. We can say, oh wow, the presence of God is in this place, and all of your hair stands up. Goosebumps. Oh, the presence of God. Wow. Then there's the presence of God and you cannot stand. Huh? Everything about you is just like, you go jelly. That's another level of the presence of God. It's the presence of God where you are vibrating like somebody put an electrical, you know, device on you, and power is surging through your body, and that's another level where the power of God is so strong that it's like you are about to die. Now, what Moses was asking for after he's had, you know, the little, you know, let's talk like friends. He says, I want more, I want more, I want more. And God says, I don't think you want more, man. I don't think you want more. Because if I show more, you're going to die. So what I'm going to do, because I know you've got the desire, What I'm going to do is I'm going to cause my goodness to go ahead of you. I'm going to proclaim my name ahead of you. And then I'm going to take you and I'm going to stick you in this rock over here. And then I'm going to go past you. Then I'm going to take my hand off so you can see my backside. What is that going to do? The man's face is going to be shining so bright he has to put on a veil. The man is going to have a revelation of everything that has happened before him, from the book of Genesis. He's going to begin to experience how God created everything. Revelation is going to pour into him. Do you understand when you have so much information that it can drive you crazy? God just cracked a little bit, just a little bit. Just let a little bit out. And the man is seeing all kinds of images. What does this manifestation of God do for Moses? It revealed to him the past, the present, the future. Downloaded into his spirit is all kinds of information. When we ask for the presence of God, for it is necessary for the manifestation of God's purposes, it has always been that way. In fact, the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ started that way. The Holy Spirit is going to come, the presence of the Holy Spirit is going to come upon a virgin girl, and the creator of all created things comes inside of the woman. To be born at the fullness of time. The presence of God will produce anything we need for our lives. We must have it. We need it. But what I'm saying to us tonight is that it comes in degrees. And I want God to help us strip ourselves of every ornament, anything that we're holding on to that does not belong. Strip us, help us to strip off everything so that we are totally reliant on His Spirit. As I wrap up, he says, "And it shall come to pass while my glory passeth by." Remember, he said, "Lord, show me your glory." God says, "You can't see my face. But there's an aspect of my glory that I'm going to let you see. The one that you can see and continue to live." The glory of God is so intense that God doesn't need His Son when we get into the new kingdom, new world. There's no need for Son. His glory lights everything up. Hallelujah. He says, I'm going to let my glory pass by. So I'll put you in the cleft of the rock and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts. But my face shall not be seen. You see my back. You will see me, the afterglow, because face to face you cannot handle it, man. And all we're asking for is what God sees that we are capable of having. Because even that little has with it all that is needed and more than we need. God, your presence. Lord, your presence. In His presence, there is what? Joy. Yeah, forever. When we dwell in His presence, daily benefits. Daily benefits. Everything that we need is taken care of. Do you want to hear this? I don't know if you want to hear this. In His presence. In His presence, there is no necessity for prayer. Because everything that is provided for. The only thing that is of utmost importance in His presence is that you worship. Worship. Because His presence, there is not a lack. The presence of lack is not existent. For He is the fullness of all things. And in His presence, you've come into fullness. And all you do is worship. Holy, holy, holy. And this presence, while it is pursued, it is an act of God's grace and God's mercy. I will be gracious to whom I'll be gracious, and I'll be merciful to whom I'll be merciful. Tonight, my prayer for me and for you is, God, be gracious and grant us your presence. Take us deeper in the experience of your presence. That you and I need. J- just like we need to breathe. Just like we need to drink. Just like we need to eat. We need the presence. And when we have it, our prayer then is, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will in the earth be done as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Unless you think our daily bread means my today's steak dinner. No, it is more about my daily assignment. Jesus said, my food is to do the will of my Father and to finish it. Give me a daily assignment. Trust me with something. Today, let that be our prayer. That God will do something extraordinary with our lives. And all because of His mercy. Because if the truth be known, most of us are like the Israelites, standing at the door of their homes, of their tents, and watching. Most of us are not the Joshua that go in and say, I'm coming in. Moses is going in, I'm going in with him. I inquire of the Lord. We get so easily distracted by too many things that our heart of pursuit doesn't linger on until it is fully satisfied with the goodness of God. God, I want you to know me. I want you to behold me. Yes, Moses is gone, but I'm still here. My spiritual father's name was, we know him as Morris, but it's actually Moshe, Moses. Morris Cerullo is gone, but I'm still here. R.W. Schambach is gone, but Lord, I'm still here. Billy Graham is gone, but Lord, I'm still here. Wigglesworth is gone, but Lord, I'm still here. Aura Roberts is gone, but Lord, I'm still here. My brother Leon is gone, but Lord, I'm still here. Who will stay? Say, God, I need more than just goosebumps. I need more than just shaking under the anointing. I need more than falling under the power. I need more than just seeing a miracle there and a miracle there. Lord, I need more. I need more. I want to know you, because ultimately it is the people that know their God that do exploits. Rise with me. Father, just a little while we will step out of this place. We'll go to our homes. We'll do different things and we will rest ourselves for the night. We'll awaken in the morning by your grace and continue a new day and a new week. But one thing we truly want, more than anything else, is a manifestation of your presence. And Lord, oh God, that you will take us from glory to glory, from one level of dimensional living in you to another, until, Father, we've experienced the capacity to shine, reflecting your glory in all the earth. Lord, like Moses, we ask. And as you responded to him that you will cause your goodness to go ahead of him, that you proclaim your name ahead of him, that you be gracious to those that you be gracious and merciful to those that you be merciful to. We ask, O God, that you grant us the same. And we'll experience all of those things that you promised and granted to Moses. We strip ourselves of everything, O God, that betrays a full commitment to you. Lord, you said you will not speak to the Israelites as long as they had those things. Whatever will cause you not to speak to us, we denounce this day. And tonight, even as we sleep, do spiritual surgery on us and remove anything and everything that is a hindrance. Whatever will corrupt the lines of communication, whatever will defile the waters of your mercies, Father, remove. Remove it all. Cleanse us. And as we awaken in the morning, may we awaken to a new day, new persons, walking under the revelatory graces of your presence. Thank you, Father, that it is so. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, at this time, let us honor God with our giving. We give because we believe. We give because we love. We give because we are surrendered to God. So as you give today, give very deliberately. Give with purpose. Give that which is pleasing unto God, that God has reason to multiply your seed and my seed sown for his glory and honor. God bless you as you give. I bless all of you that are watching online. Say good night to you. We'll see you on Wednesday and again on Wednesday's leadership, but there will be a broadcast for the general public. And Friday is a regular prayer meeting. And of course, next Sunday, I'll see you in the morning and the evening. And in the interim, be reminded once again that our Christmas Eve service is going to be on Christmas morning, not evening. So Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. And Christmas, New Year's Eve service is going to start at 9 p.m. on the 31st, Saturday. You don't want to miss that service. Certain things that are going to happen here in that service that you want to participate in. You want to be part of it when it is happening. You don't want somebody to tell you about it. If I were able to travel to come to that service just to be part of it, I will do it. Yeah. If you knew what I know about what we'll be doing in that service, if I were in Nigeria, I wouldn't fly from Nigeria to Canada just to be part of it. So if you are here in town and you don't show up, I don't know what to tell you. So do everything. Bring your children. Put them in a blanket, let them sleep right there in church. So that they say, I was there. That's all I'm going to say. Amen? Praise the Lord. God bless you. Enjoy the goodness of the Lord. Do I have anybody?